Thank you to the Rojas family for leading us this morning. With a couple of band members who are sick, so couldn't join them. So thank you guys for leading us. Kids are going to head out for... Kids have left? Wow, look at that. Well, we'll pray for them anyway. When I saw that it was kind of heavy on the sides, it reminded me of that kids song, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And you go, praise ye the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, we won't do it because, you know, standing, sitting for some may not be so fun. But anyway, that just came to my mind. Let's pray. And we're going to have a time of just coming before God. We have a few people that are sick who aren't with us. Ray has started his chemo and so is not feeling too well with that. So let's keep them in our prayers. So let's just come before God at this time and be before him. Father God, we thank you that we can have life in you. Jesus, we just want to steady ourselves before you. The busyness of life and stuff that goes on could be quite the distraction, but that's not an excuse. We're sorry for not coming before you as much as we should. But Father, we thank you that you are here with us with arms wide open. Lord, we ask that you just bless those who just can't be here with the travel, with the cold, or whether with sickness of degrees. Lord God, you know them, and we pray you just bless them. We pray for healing in those bodies, but just a presence of God with them. And Lord, for those of us here today that maybe bringing a lot of baggage, whatever that might be, Lord, we just want to lift that up to you. Father, we thank you that you meet us where we're at. So we just want to lift that to you. Jesus, thank you that we can have this relationship with you, that we can just talk to you at any moment, and that you listen. And Jesus, at the time now, as we just look at your word and talk about evangelism, just pray, Father God, that you just speak, that this be not about me. Open our hearts and ears and give a desire to go and spread that great, great news that we have in the name of Jesus. We give you this time. Bless the kids as they're at Sunday school, Father God. In your name. Amen. Amen. Jen and I had a great weekend away last weekend in Steinbach, an hour or so outside Winnipeg. We were at a church renewal weekend, and it was a real blessing as an individual and as a pastor and as a dad, as a husband. It kind of affected and hit all areas. It was great. So thank you for allowing us to go, and thank you for Pablo for preaching last week. So I'm following on from Jen's sermon 2 weeks ago. Jen preached 2 weeks ago on why evangelize. And so I'm going to be leading on this week to how to evangelize. So do we have the board up? Whatever you call it. There you go. Look. So clever. So we're going to look at how to evangelize. This is a kind of a topic that for me is quite a passion for me to talk about evangelism. Evangelism, am I hitting that as well? Evangelism means to share the good news. Share the good news of Jesus to other people. But the term evangelism or an evangelist, I don't know for you, but sometimes brings positive and negative kind of thoughts. On one end, you hear of an evangelist and you kind of think of those big people on TV, you know, the Billy Grahams and whatnot, and who are great and are blessed. And we think, oh, I'm not like that. I can't evangelize. I can't talk like they talk. Or on a negative side, you've maybe seen someone on TV or seen somebody on the street who are street evangelizing, and maybe they're damning people. Maybe the stuff that they're saying, you're thinking, oh, man, I'm embarrassed to call myself a Christian, even just walking by that. And so you think of evangelists, and you're not so much thinking of a good thing. It's maybe a negative reflection or experience that you've had just hearing that term evangelist. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is we hear evangelist of someone putting on the back of their bumper, "I heart Jesus." And you go, "I'm an evangelist. I've put the sticker on, got the fish there, got the Jesus t-shirt. I'm an evangelist." Now, technically, it is all evangelism. I mean, technically, even the "I heart Jesus" on your bumper sticker is evangelism. But what I want to talk about this morning as I was going through this is rather than how to just evangelize, which is a huge spectrum, but to kind of share a personal passion or a desire and maybe even experiences of how to evangelize effectively today. Because it's such a huge spectrum that I'm going to kind of focus on how effective is our sharing of the good news. Before I do that, a question. We can have a little feedback here as well. A question for you. Can all disciples of Jesus evangelize? There you go. It wasn't a trick question or too much difficult question. Yes. All people who call Jesus their Messiah, we've been singing there, who are pursuing a relationship, who have accepted Christ in their lives, can absolutely evangelize. You don't have to be on the big stage. You don't have to be on a soapbox to evangelize. So this hopefully will affect all of us. Now, before I go further, a recap on 2 weeks ago. Jen talked about why evangelize. And so these are some points that I got from her sermon. She didn't do the PowerPoint thing, so I had to have to do some work, unbelievable. So I listened to my wife's sermon, you'd be pleased to know. And so this is kind of the points that I got from that. One, why evangelize? Jesus commands it. We look at the Great Commission. He teaches us and tells us to go. Go and make disciples. We'll get to that part later on. A second, why evangelize? It's because it's an awesome gift. We've been given this awesome, incredible gift. It's not just for you. It's not just for you to keep secret. The gift of Jesus, salvation, life in him, is a gift that has been freely given to us, and we've been instructed to go and pass it on. Don't hoard it. Number three, it should be natural for us to share it. I think back to the story of the shepherds and the nativity, is once they'd encountered the baby Jesus, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They went out there filled with joy because it was a natural response for them to go and share this incredible news, life-changing news. It should be pretty natural and a desire of ours to go, I don't want to keep this. I got to go and share this. But also evangelism, it affects you. Sharing the good news, talking to someone about Jesus, there's growth there. I believe the Holy Spirit works through that person who's talking. There is a personal growth within that. So there's a few reasons why to evangelize. And now we're going to look at how to evangelize. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Number one, lay your own foundation before building someone else's. Lay your own foundation before building someone else's. Here's the thing. Before you tell somebody about Jesus, before you can tell somebody how great he is, sounds a little bit obvious, you need to be filled by him. You need to know him. I mean, it sounds a little bit basic, but I think sometimes we talk about and sing about how great God is, how awesome he is. But do we spend time with him? Do we allow him to fill us? Do we spend time in his word? Do we spend time communicating with him? I mean, if he's not great, we should be doing it first. I mean, if we're telling someone about Jesus and we're not living for him, they'll see through that. You know, example, if you're telling someone about the grace and the love of Jesus and how as Christians we should be loving and compassion, etc., and then that person goes on your Facebook account and goes, "Yeek, is that what Christians talk? Is that what they're really like?" And the other reason to be built up and have your roots firmly in place is Do you think Satan wants us to be growing the kingdom? No. So quite often, there's going to be a barrier. Quite often, there's going to be maybe a response, and it may not always be positive. Maybe the person that you're talking to about Jesus has already been reading up. Maybe they just had one of those days, and they just want to have a go. If we are not firmly planted in ourselves, we can be, as James talks about in the scriptures, tossed like that wave. If we've not got our foundations and roots in place. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8 says, "Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, who trusts is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Can people see your fruit? Or is it just the words? Lay your foundations. Put them in place. Be filled by the Holy Spirit. Be amazed to see what the words he gives you when we ask him to speak. So that's number one. Number two, know the goal. What's the purpose of this? Now, here's the thing. In the past, or even for some people at present, the goal is to get someone to say yes, and then that's it. You may call it the sinner's prayer. Now, before I go further, I am not going to be saying the sinner's prayer is wrong at all. It's part of the process. Someone saying yes, accepting Christ, is a part of the process. But I do not believe it ends there. Why do I not believe that? Because this is what we are taught. Then the 11 disciples in Matthew 18 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am always with you to the very end." The commandment was to make disciples. Disciples that follow. Disciples that grow. Disciples that want to make other disciples. If the goal is literally just to have someone say, "Yes, I want that," and then we leave them alone, we're not making disciples. I think this has been part of the area that perhaps area in the West that maybe we've not done so well at. We hold these big outreach events, and the speakers are fantastic, and they get to the point of saying, "Who wants this?" Now, there's a reason it's called good news, because it's good. So, of course, if you say to someone, "Do you want to have everlasting life?" Yeah. "Do you want to experience a peace that is beyond understanding?" Yes. "Do you want forgiveness of all sins?" Yes. "Do you want to have eternity with God our Savior in paradise in heaven?" Yes. Well, who wants that? I do. Of course, people are going to say yes, and so they should, because it's attractive. It's like saying to someone, "I have a free car." Who would like a free car? It's the best car you'll ever see. It gets great gas. It's got great space. It's got all-wheel drive. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, I'll have that. Free? Absolutely. You go up to the front and they've disappeared. "Hey, where's the keys? I don't know how to drive this thing." My argument with this is when we talk about evangelism, the effective part is not just to leave them at the altar. There's a journey that takes place. Now, I read there the mission of the church, the Great Commission. We as a denomination have this same mission, to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. It's the same, it's just shorter. That's our purpose, to make these disciples, to grow together. Now, as a local church, not to confuse things and use terms like visions and stuff like that, because that sometimes gets a bit murky, but we as pastors like to think of a health check within the mission of the church is, what does a disciple look like? A disciple looks like somebody who is rooting themselves to God through scripture, through prayer, through fellowship, through testimony, desiring to root themselves to God. Someone who is desiring to grow in their relationship with Jesus. We're talking about Christ-like. Do we see people growing in Christ-likeness, compassion, love, mercy, forgiveness, holiness? Are we seeing someone grow in that, desiring to grow in that? Are we desiring to grow the kingdom, evangelism? Are we seeing someone also reaching out? So rooting, growing, reaching. Are we just keeping it to ourselves? Are we willing to reach out? All part of discipleship making. So if we understand that it needs more than just saying yes, then the next portion of evangelism is, are we willing to journey with them? Are we willing to be the ones to go on that road with them? Or do we have someone in place to do that? I've been on missions trips and stuff, and I think I've shared the story in Wapala of the lady called Laurie, who we had an amazing moment of praying, and she accepted Christ on the street. First thing she did when she came to the church on that Sunday is I said, "Hey, Laurie, here's Pastor Derek." Because I knew I couldn't be the one discipling her. That'd be a long drive to go to Wapala every week or whatever, that 10-hour drive. That was a big enough deal, me driving 10 hours at once. I ain't doing that again for a while. Here's Pastor Derek. Because you're not always going to be the one to do the journeying. But is there somebody in place to do that? She recently said to me, "Oh, Johnny, I'd love to get baptized. I'd love for you to baptize me." And I said, I'd love you to get baptized, but I ain't doing it. Pastor Derek will baptize you. She's been continuing in that church. She's bringing friends to that church. It's exciting to see what she's doing. But she's been discipled by that local church. I love baptism, but I ain't driving 10 hours. But is somebody in place to do that? Now, here's the thing. The journey isn't always long. I've also been at the bedside of someone dying. That ain't a long journey with them. I've had the moment where they've accepted Christ. Yes. But did I say to them, even though we only knew they had a few days left, "All right, see you on the other side. I'm out." No, in that week, I was with them 3 or 4 times. The journey may not be long, but are you willing to go with them? Because life has ups and downs. Life has questions. Life has doubts. Are you willing to be that person that they can say, "Hey, what does the Bible say about this? Hey, what's our thoughts as Christians on this? I'm struggling with this." One tool that I will say of how to evangelize is listening. I think listening is a very powerful tool of evangelism. Hearing somebody's story. I think sometimes we feel a pressure when it comes to evangelism of, "I've got to say it quick. I've got to say it now. And they can't talk. They've got to listen." How about listening to that person's story? Knowing what journey they've already been on. There's a great proverb. Proverb 18, verse 13. I love the Bible sometimes just nails it. Well, lots of times just nails it. But it gets to the point. Ready? "Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish." Proverbs 18, verse 13. "Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish." I think that's true. I know it's true. It's there. Argue it if you want. But too often we do that. I know I do. I'm a talker. And sometimes I'm like, "Oh, I should have shut up. I should have listened." Because you say something, and then they say, "Well, actually, this is what I've experienced, or this is what I've heard." Listen to someone. Because I think it gives you then a more powerful right to then talk into their lives if you've been willing to listen to them. Journeying with someone as well, by the way, allows Christ to shine in your light, in your life. They can see the integrity. They see that you're not just in there and out there, that you're willing to live the life. So these are all kind of the foundations to put in place. Because ultimately, you got to go for it. This is in my prayer time this morning. I really felt God really make this clear to me, of almost convicting of me, because I don't want us to confuse or replace evangelism with just building a relationship with someone. Because I think there's a danger we can put off talking about Jesus because we keep saying, I'm still building the relationship. I'm still building the relationship. We don't know the hour or the time that either they or you will be with Christ or die. Or if you've moved on to another neighborhood or location or another job or whatever. At some point, you got to go for it. Romans 10, verse 10 to 17. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the Scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them about it? And how will anyone go and tell them about it without being sent? This is what the Scriptures say. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our messenger? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Jesus. Here's the thing. Those foundations that I was talking about, being filled up, willing to journey, listening to someone, building those relationships, are essential and important. But the reality is, most people that maybe you're already thinking about, that maybe are already on your heart, you already know. For the most part, you've already got that relationship. Maybe your neighbor and you talk every morning before you go to work. Maybe a family member and you know them really well. Maybe somebody at work and you've worked with them for years. You know each other, but for some reason you just never get onto the topic or subject of Jesus. For whatever reason. Whether it's fear, doubt of your own ability. For the most part, you've already got those foundations in place. And so this step is for you. Go for it. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to give you the words. If you look through Scripture, there are many amazing people in the Bible who doubted and said, God, send someone else. God, I haven't got the right words. But God used them because they put their faith in him. Reading that Scripture reminds me that in the end of the day, somebody needs to talk to them about it. So my simple kind of response to that is, well, why not you? Why not? God's put them in your life for a reason. Some other areas to use. Use Scripture. Use the truth. First, you've got to know it. Share that with them. A powerful tool is your story. Share your testimony with someone, because your experience is your experience. No one can take your experience away. Someone might come with different answers to theologian talk or whatever. But for you to say, this is what I was like, this is what I'm like now, this is an experience that I had and how I experienced Christ, nobody can take that experience away from you. That's your experience. Share it. Share how God has transformed. Share how God has done a miracle, blessed you. It's your experience. It's not wrong. Be bold. Believe that God will give you the words. I'm going to spend a moment now of just praying and just listening. Asking God, God, who do you want me to speak to? I get the whys. I get that you say that we need to. I get that this is great news and I want to. I get that this commandment. But there's been something holding you back, whatever it might be. Maybe it's an experience that you've done before and it didn't go well. Maybe you weren't ready or didn't have your foundations laid. Let's just spend a moment just saying, God, being honest, God, who is in my life that you want me to be talking to? Put that face, put that name, and then give me the opportunity, and he will. Give me the words, and he will, to share your love. Maybe it's someone you've just been seeing and have never spoken to them. Maybe the prayer is, Lord, help me just to speak, to build a relationship. Help me to find an opportunity to listen to them. Let's pray. Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the good news that we have received, that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the gift of life in you. And we're sorry that too often we keep it to ourselves. We know that you've taught us and commanded us to go, to share it, to live it, to be the light, to proclaim the good news. But too often we shy away. We're sorry for that. Give us the words, Father God. Give us the courage, the boldness, Father God. Lord, I just ask that you just place a name, a person on each of our hearts and our minds for us to pray into. And we ask, Father God, that you just give us that opportunity. Give us that opportunity, Father God. And then give us the words. Give us peace. I pray for protection over all those who are going to proclaim and share and talk about you this week. Protection over them, Jesus, for anything that comes against, that we stand firm because we are rooted in you. Nothing can separate us from you, Father, and we thank you for that. Give us the hunger and desire to just proclaim the truth. You've called us to do this. You've given us this gift. You are with us. And so we want to rise up, Jesus. We praise you in your awesome name. Amen. And invite our band to come up as we sing our final song. Here's another quick final little tool that you can use is today. Tomorrow when you go back to work or when you see friends and they say, how was your weekend? There's a straightaway an opening to even just say, yeah, I went to church. And see where that leads. That's a side note. Thank you.